Come on. Are you ready?
Welcome to Dave and Mahoney.
Mahoney, do you buy your avocados in bulk?
Yeah, I mean, like six at a time. I think that's how they come. They come in a bag.
Do you get them from Avocosco?
Avocado. Like, seriously, you went backwards in that conversation to bring up Avocosco's.
That's pretty simple.
Worth backing it up?
Worth it.
Dave and Mahoney.
How would you talk to a puppy? I'm curious your dog talking voice.
Oh, most baby voice ever. Oh, look at that little, those little sweet poos.
What did you call her?
I'm about to catch a charge, man.
Dave and Mahoney.
Audrey's dog eating the underwear. Did she hide her homework in it?
Yeah, I did have my homework. Lots of notes from the lore of sex past. I'm married now.
She's
so
allowed to have sex.
I'm allowed to have sex now. Oh, Jesus, that was a tough year.
I didn't mean it like that. All right. Well, see you later.
All right.
And now,
this is Dave and Mahoney.
Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us on this Monday. Got some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
Yeah, some bad news. If you're fat, you can just blame your parents now. Mm-hmm. So a study that was presented by the
thanks, Mom.
European Congress on Obesity suggests that people are six times more likely to become obese in middle age if both their parents were obese during that time.
Oh, well, I thought you could just blame it on your parents. Well, my parents aren't overweight.
Oh, yeah, no, it is exclusively you.
Oh,
then.
So it's all my fault.
It is your fault, for sure.
Great.
Wait, so you're saying that if our parents were overweight or are overweight by the time we are middle-aged, that we will become overweight by middle age?
Well, not necessarily. You're just six times as likely. And let's just say it's one of your parents. Let's not both your parents are overweight, just one. You're still three times as likely to be overweight. Uh-huh. So the research analyzed health data from 2,000 parent offspring pairs. In the study found that the parents' BMI directly influenced their child's BMI.
So is this nature or nurture?
Probably a little bit of both is my guess.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of nature involved here because it doesn't say anything about, like, your diet. So the combination of genetics and environment is likely to play a role in the parents' weight affecting their children's weight. So, you know, if you grew up in a super health-conscious house, odds are you're not going to have people that are obese, but there's also a lot of things, like, even if you are eating just like the person right across the hall from you, depending on what your genetic makeup is, there's still a lot to be said about.
Yeah, that's what you bring into the house, but then also you can have kids who end up having the opposite effect. Like, you could have a granola almond mom who pushes all sorts of health-conscious things onto her kids and gives them eating disorders. I mean, it's just all, there's a huge spectrum to this.
Yep. Some good news today as well. There was a woman who was on a Wizz Airjet flight to London.
What the hell is that?
What is with Europe and their weird-ass air carriers? I mean, don't get me wrong. We got Spirit and Frontier over here.
Yeah, but the Wizz?
We got Wizz Air and Ryanair over here. Come on. She was on the flight, and her water broke. Just straight up went into labor. They had to divert the flight to Italy, which, I mean, don't get me wrong. As a dad of four, like, I'm all about the beauty and magic of life. But
she should not have been flying that close to her.
If I was on that flight, I'd be real annoyed. Like, we have to get diverted to Italy now.
I'm gonna dedicate my life to ruining that baby's life because I got delayed one time. That's my villain origin story right there.
There was a doctor on board, though, and sure enough, she had to lay down right there in front of the cockpit, which is what got her into this problem to begin with. And she's laying there on the ground, and they're like, hey, is there a doctor on board? Sure enough, he comes up there and bloop, delivered the baby.
Ew,
right in the,
what do they
right
do
the
with
aisle.
The placenta?
Yeah, they ate it.
What do they do with the sack?
They served it for dinner.
What do they do with its baby mouth, a.k.a. its belly button?
I don't know, man.
They just started cutting it off? What do they do with the second mouth?
It feels like there's a lot of questions about how
the juice
and then,
is.
Like, is everyone that's exiting the plane, you gotta like step over it.
Is Wizz Airlines gonna remove that carpet?
Yeah,
or are they just gonna vacuum it?
I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that Wizz Airjet did not have a plan.
Oh my God.
They threw some napkins down.
I get a cold just from being an airplane. That baby's immune system is going to be through the roof.
Dave and Mahoney.
It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Audrey, can I ask you why you would choose to do this? I mean, you've got a move coming up and it's still several weeks away. And I know that you're excited about the move and you're kind of in the process of, you know, packing stuff up and thinking about getting rid of some stuff because you have some new furniture coming in for the new place and all of that. But tell us what you're thinking when it comes to your couch.
So my couch is not coming with me to the new apartment. Mm-hmm. and I put an offer up. And somebody came back with an immediate, hey, I'll come pick it up right this very second, but it for like $400 less than what I was going to put it on there for.
Right.
But getting it out of the apartment right now sounds pretty nice, so I don't have to worry about it. But that's 4 weeks too soon, I think.
Well, you wouldn't have a couch for a month?
Yeah, but it'd be gone.
Well, yeah, but like where would you sit when you want to sit?
That's the problem. Where would I sit?
Yeah.
But I would, like, but I would be able to get the couch gone, you see.
Well, but we've already established that getting the couch gone, not really going to be a problem.
If you want, so here's the thing. Well, you could, if you sold it at the price that they're offering, my guess is it would go up even quicker. Right?
So I think that I've got some play time. That's what I'm thinking in my head. I'm like, okay, so I can, this is the absolute lowest I could sell it for, is what this gentleman is offering to come pick it up same day. Or I could hold on, hope that somebody's going to get my max price in 4 weeks.
I think that we have 4 weeks. I think we need to play around a little bit with the max price. Like, let's just test the market. I think you list it for $150,000.
Okay.
Inflation, man. Yeah. Inflation. It's a nice real couch. It's a real
used
thing.
Couch
it's,
by the Audrey.
It's a celebrity used couch. Who knows
no,
what
here's what you need to do
done and, on that couch.
And forgive me for
not
even
much.
Snapped.
Forgive me for even going down this route. See, if you want to get your best price for this couch, we have to go niche.
Oh, no.
So did you take some feet pics?
No.
Like
no,
on
no,
the pillows?
No. Like recently farted on cushions.
You got to poop on the couch.
Like, I mean, like if you put it in like to a fart forum.
Oh, yeah.
Like in like, you know, this couch has stored, you know, however many years you've had that couch.
But think
you know,
about
8,052 farts. You could probably get a premium price for it.
Well, what if you blend the two? What if it's feet and farts?
I don't think those two mix. I think Dave, you're lumping perverts into one big perverted ball, and that's not they have their own kinks and whatever. And just because somebody likes farts doesn't mean they like feet.
All you perverts on the same love seat. $150,000.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
How do you really feel?
Tell us
by calling the Dave and Mahoney Show voicemail
at 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, you know what, guys? I think it's high time we bring back the DAM acronym. But we have Dave, Audrey, Mahoney. Dave, use your 1% powers to talk to the powers that be. And we need to bring back the Damn Morning Show. You're welcome.
Message deleted.
Originally, our show was called The Damn Show.
And then we had a general manager who told us it was too edgy. Edgy. Damn. DAM.
Like our logo was in the shape of the Hoover Dam, based in Las Vegas. The biggest dam in North America.
But it could be perceived as, and this was like 10 years after the best damn sports show period.
This is in 2009,
right?
Dave. It's too edgy in 2000.
Too
like,
edgy. Okay.
Do you not remember the programming that was being put out back then? And so then that's when we changed our name. We're not changing back. We own too much.
So much work, man.
T-shirts.
Audrey, if you just want to start like internally calling it the Audrey Show, I'm fine with that.
You do
like,
you.
Just, you're as much a part of this as we
but
are.
You
got to
buy your own.
Day.
You got to buy your own domains and T-shirts and stuff.
So it's a lot of work.
It really is.
What?
I don't know. I'm just letting y'all talk.
Okay.
I haven't been listening to Kane since the stock market crash of 1929.
Message deleted.
What did he mumble?
Something he about hasn't stock- been this entertained since the stock market crash of 1929, often referred to as Black Friday.
I mean, so that was a crazy time, so I'm glad that we were able to keep you entertained.
I think he's saying that he's ready to jump out a window because there was a lot of people on Wall Street who lost everything and jumped out of windows.
Did they really?
I mean, at least according to the movies. That's where I get most of my 1929 stock market history from.
They just straight up pulled a Joffrey from Game of Thrones and whoop, right out the window, huh?
Yep. Yeah, ooh, not great.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Why in the hell did you name it Howard? Don't name a cat Howard. It's a cat. Name it Scruffleupagus or something. So dumb. So dumb.
Dude, Scruffleupagus is a great name for a cat.
That really
Mr.
is a great
Scruffles.
Name.
My stepdaughter named Howard Howard. And I think it is hilarious. I had a girlfriend in college. She was, she had a cat named Jessica. Like, I just find those sort of names hilarious. Like, what do you mean you got a cat named Jessica?
If I ever get a dog, I want to name him Larry.
Larry. Larry the dog.
Larry the dog.
Larry.
Yeah.
That's very Basset Hound energy to me. Oh, Larry. Oh, Lair dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cute. Dave, are you still thinking about getting your kids a dog?
No.
I know you've been talking about it a lot recently, about how excited you are in order to get a new dog.
What? Who's talking? What is that?
There's two dogs in the
studio. You brought your dog in there today, Chris?
Yeah. Are you holding her up like Simba?
Yeah. He is.
Oh, this feels sacrificial.
I want you to see these faces so you know how sweet it is to be a dog owner.
I have a rule in my house. We are not going to get a dog until everyone stops pooping on themselves. We don't need something else pooping right now.
How much time are you spending with potty training?
A lot, man. I don't need a dog. And then I already have the mother-in-law's dog coming back. No more responsibility.
Well, the fortunate part about that, though, Dave, well, actually, the fortunate part for you is that Taco Bell exists. So that rule will never, you'll never have a dog.
Oh, they just like.
If
we get real close to having a dog and like everyone's potty trained, like I just sold
Taco
myself.
Bell for everyone.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
You know what? I like Baker Mayfield. I don't know why I like Baker Mayfield. He just seems like he's kind of a hard-working dude who's had some crappy situations with the teams that he's been on and has sort of been right there on the cusp, you know, like when he first showed up in Cleveland, they were doing the Hard Knocks series, and he was living in his RV. Do you remember that, Mahoney?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like he was just living in the RV, like practicing, and like every day just seemed like he was out there studying,
the
trying to get better.
Guy who's dedicated, you know. I mean, he's not one of the biggest names in the NFL, but you think about guys who have done well in college and, you know, had worked for everything that they've got in the NFL. He's definitely one of those, you know, hardworking guys you probably want on your team.
And my take is that if you're coming in after Tom Brady in any situation and you're able to hold it together enough to get your team into the playoff hunt, then that's pretty good, you know, because most teams obviously aren't making the playoffs. Following Tom Brady is near impossible. He's got some weapons there in Tampa Bay. But overall, Baker Mayfield played pretty well this past season.
Better than the Browns.
And now he's getting a 3-year, $100 million contract with the Bucks.
Wow.
So $50 million guaranteed.
What a comeback story. Because he was just, seriously, whenever he was playing for the Browns, he was just getting eviscerated.
Just smashed.
Just smashed.
Every single play, it seemed like he was getting lit up.
Wow, good for him.
$30 million in 2024, $30 million in 2025, with 20 of that guaranteed, and then $40 million $40 million in 2026.
Wow.
Along with an additional $5 million per year in incentives, so he can make even more than that. So he was the number one overall pick, if you remember, back in 2018. They made the Pro Bowl last season, leading the Bucs to the NFC South title and a playoff victory. So the contract is seen as a very significant step in his career turnaround after being, wasn't that long ago, he got cut by the Panthers in 2022.
Oh, yeah.
Cut by the Panthers.
Isn't that when they picked up like Gardner Minshew or something?
The Panthers in 2022.
Oh, no, that's Trevor Lawrence.
No, no, you're thinking of the Jaguars. Bryce Young in 2022 is who entered into the picture for.
That's right.
Yeah, and that, I mean, if the Panthers could set back the clock, oh boy, Bryce Young
has been
a
cat,
total
bust. I was thinking of the Jaguars.
Yeah.
And handlebar mustaches and jorts. And sorry, I got confused.
Did you get totally confused between Gardner Minshew and Baker Mayfield?
No.
You racist, you did too. They're like not tall white guys that play quarterback in the NFL.
They're likable, and they both have RVs.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
You know the songs, but can you name them when they sound this bad?
Bad. It's Cover Your Ears on Dave and Mahoney.
Cindy is joining us today for a round of Cover Your Ears. How you doing, Cindy?
Hey, guys, I'm doing great.
We got 30 seconds on the clock for each one of these. You got to get three out of the four. You got a couple lifelines if necessary, but let the full 30 seconds play out before you make your guess. The first one here, not the most popular, 629 views. Best of luck.
There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game.
And we'll stop it right there. I don't like the ukulele. I'd never really thought about it much until just now.
I mean, there's songs that are real hard to cover. That is one that probably should not be done with a ukulele unless you are a large, soulful Hawaiian man.
Pat Patsy Walker is the name of that individual that uploaded. That does not sound like a large, soulful Hawaiian man. All right, no. Cindy, over to you. Do you know it or do you need some help?
Hi, guys. It's definitely the Beatles. I want to say All You Need Is Love.
Yeah, that's right. Well done. Excellent. All right, so now we got a couple that
are... And all she needs is some singing lessons.
Yeah. So the next two here are much more popular.
Okay, you win.
160... You think Mahoney's funny,
whatever,
you win.
Whatever.
167,000 views on the next one here from the WAC Kids. Here we go. Beautiful. So, Chris, I know that the WAC Kids play different instruments. It sounded like a kazoo there, and then what else?
It's specifically like preschool toys.
Okay.
So, like, these are all like not real even instruments. The guitar was like nylon strings on a piece of plastic.
All right. No kazoo.
Let's let Cindy work this out. Do you know it?
Oh man, it sounds like that Down to Gorky Park song. Wind of Change.
Winds of Change is correct. Who is the artist?
Oh my God, that's Scorpions.
Scorpions! Yay!
See, just let her work it out.
I love that Cindy will just sit here and just sing it out on the radio. All right, Cindy,
two for two. Oh,
two for two. That means that I am going to revoke your lifelines now because you're doing so well. All you have to do is get one.
Dave, where did this rule come from? It just popped out of nowhere. I don't know where this rule came from either. You just started doing it one day.
You don't need it. You don't need it. All you need is one more point. We have two more to go. You're batting 1,000 so far. And this next one has 1.2 million views on it. So I think, we'll see. I think you're going to be able to get this. Let's go. Stop it right there. Cindy, over to you.
That's definitely a jazzy version of Metallica, Master of Puppets.
You see?
Hell yeah.
Told you she was going to win, Dave. Sure did.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show. This is Dave and Mahoney.
So, Mahoney, I'm curious because you said your wife was coming into town and she's going to stay at the new rental, which you predicted that she was going to hate. But you said that you were going to do everything that you could to get it ready for her arrival.
Trying.
Did you actually see that through and do everything that you had planned?
I got most of it done. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's livable. It's not, I wouldn't say it's 100%, but we got a good C+ there. So,
good C+.
She helped me unpack quite a bit yesterday.
So you didn't do it. You waited for her to get here.
No, I mean, I got a lot of the other things done.
Okay.
But, you know, over the last, like, week or so, I've been going through the transition, getting into this house, going through, like, I don't know if you've rented a house. I know you haven't rented a house, like, lately. But if you rent a house and you finish up with that lease, one of the things you do at the end is a walkthrough with the real estate agent.
Yeah, to make sure that you guys are on the same page with any damage
and cleaning and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I did a pretty good job on the last house. I mean, obviously, I didn't live even though I was there for an entire year, I didn't live hard in there. You know, it was like there was a couch, there was a TV, there was a bedroom, there was my office.
Yeah.
And that's where I spent 99.9% of my time in this house.
You're a pretty low maintenance guy.
Yeah. And my style of cleaning is that I don't like to make a mess. So there's not a lot to clean up. You know, I feel like that's the most efficient way to clean.
Would you say that during your time there, you made an extra effort to try to keep all of the crumbs inside of the pizza box?
Yes.
So that way you wouldn't have to
absolutely
clean. Got it.
Yeah. And you use the pizza box as your...
As the trash receptacle.
As the trash and your plates.
As the plate, absolutely.
So, yeah. I mean, so it really...
Straight from box to face. Anything that doesn't come out of the box goes right in the trash.
Truly.
So you're a surface clean guy.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Like, what else is there? There's nothing else other than... If I can't see it, it doesn't exist.
That's so true.
I mean, for real.
Even if there's something on the kitchen floor and you just kick it under the fridge, it doesn't exist. Under
so
there.
The thing, though, as we're going through the checking of the house, I got everything out of there except for, like, one thing that I kind of forgot, and that was I had magnets on my refrigerator.
What kind of magnets?
Pizza magnets.
Of course.
But it's from one particular place.
Did you get one every time that you ordered?
Yes.
It was like your trophies?
Well, it wasn't a trophy. It's actually
like those generals in war, when they accomplish something, they get, you know, all the different medals that they... I just imagine that with Mahoney. Only he looks like he's a waiter at Outback Steakhouse with
my
all of his flair.
Yeah, it's on my suspenders that I desperately need. So this pizza place that I have all these magnets from, if you get 8, you get a free pizza.
Oh. Oh, my. What?
And so you
present
pizza because
they're all
little
slices. They are slices?
They're slices. And so you, like, you fill it in, and then you get a whole pizza magnet. You give that back, and you get a free pizza.
Does it all assemble into, like, one pizza where it looks like it's all one piece?
You don't even get to keep the pizza magnet?
Well, I don't necessarily want 8 magnets on my refrigerator.
So you have to give them back?
Well, you do
turn them in.
You turn them in, and you get a free pizza, and you know that's $25 or something. It's something pretty, you know, it's substantial, you know. But it's their version of their punch card system,
right?
And it works well because it's, you know, keeps it. If you keep like on the refrigerator, it reminds you.
So you have to buy $200 worth of pizza to get one pizza for free.
But how many pizzas do you buy normally from your pizza place and get a free pizza?
So
I know. Hey, I'm such a girly where I'm like, oh, I have to spend $1,000 at Starbucks to get one $22 cup. Cool, I'm in. So I'm so in here with you. But whenever you put it down into actual numbers, it's funny to see $200 for one $25 pizza.
With each slice, does it have the phone number on each individual slice?
It does. It has. I mean, no, each individual, because they're all the same,
right?
But they.
So if you were to like trip and fall down the stairs, no matter what angle you were at, you would be able to see the phone number for your local pizza shop as you were tumbling to your death.
From every angle, I could see their phone number. But as we're checking out, I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot those. Let me grab them. And, you know, he's like, oh, where's this place at? I'm like, oh, you know, it's not too far from here.
Right.
And he just takes one.
Excuse me?
He just took it.
Excuse me?
He, like, straight up took it.
Did you explain to him that he had just desecrated your pie?
I mean, this is my fault for not speaking up, because I didn't, you know, like, this is a moment, because there's things in this house that, like, I would like him to overlook. You know, like, I didn't vacuum before I left, because why am I going to do that when they're just going to hire a company to come in?
You're paying a cleaning fee anyway.
You're paying a cleaning fee anyway. But, like, I still, like, we hadn't finished with our checkout yet, so I'm still trying to be cool.
Is this the guy who listens to the show?
No, this is not. That guy's cool. This guy, I mean, this guy's cool, too, but he's not so cool that he took. Now, I had 7, Dave. My next pizza was going to be free.
You know what is going to drive you crazy? Think about this. He pulls back into his driveway at his house, walks inside of his kitchen, and places his 8th slice into his pizza magnet on his fridge.
Son of a bitch.
It's the Dave and Mahoney Show. Dave and Mahoney.
I don't know what this is all about. You just told me to call you a dummy.
There's nothing you can say they haven't heard before.
Leave us a message by calling 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What's the deal with the short sleeve hoodies? If it's cold enough that I need a hood, then don't I need sleeves?
Message
I don't
deleted.
Know if I've ever seen anybody in a short sleeve hoodie other than Bill Belichick.
Pat McAfee.
Does he wear a short sleeve hoodie?
He wears short sleeve everything. So if he's wearing a hoodie, it's short sleeve. I respect the game of Bill Belichick, though, because I don't have the confidence to pull off a short sleeve hoodie or really a short sleeve anything. Just because you like you gotta have some arms for that, right?
But does he wear them sleeveless?
No, like Belichick.
He wears like a T-shirt underneath it.
Guys, if you want to know what Bill Belichick wears, there's actually a database with each record of each hoodie that he's worn that exists on
the
internet.
People are so bored.
No, the guy who created this Bill Belichick hoodie database, which when Belichick wore his sleeveless hoodies in the Super Bowls. Lost both those Super Bowls.
Dude, we are so thirsty for any edge against the sports book. But we're like, okay, now is that the one with the mustard stain on it or not?
But the guy, because I mean, it's a pretty extensive database, and the guy who created it and kept it actually got hired by the Patriots
for
Patriots.com to become an analyst and a writer. Like, legit.
So this is like whenever those people on SportsCenter who are like, this guy's got a 6-foot wingspan. And, like, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, when they go through and they try and, like, make it to where it's like, this is what they would look like if they were going to be playing in a tornado. Like, what are you doing here, guy? Like, I didn't know I needed this science. He can throw as far as 6 walruses.
I mean, yes, I need to know how far 6 walruses.
How many walruses can he throw?
Wait, what?
These are important stats, Audrey.
They are, I guess. We need to know every hoodie that Bill Belichick has ever worn, sleeves or no sleeves.
It matters.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, guys, back in the 70s, camping was when gay people were being flamboyant. So that's what it meant to us. So it's kind of the same thing, I believe. Thanks. Bye.
Message deleted.
Just flamboyant. That's what we said. Just minus the gay part.
Oh, so
for
this,
what?
Camp.
We were talking about being camp and like the slang stuff that we don't understand. And I guess that back in the 70s, that was also a thing. But
that's where it started from.
And now it's back?
Sure. Everything.
With the youths.
You know, all words. Just like I feel I said grody the other day, and we were talking about how grody is an old word.
Also, people who were camping were all banging. Like, that's the only reason we went camping when we were young. Is because it was a place where we could get away from people and it would be slightly more okay to, you know.
You talking about your time in the Boy Scouts?
No. I did wet my sleeping bag once in the Boy Scouts.
Bro, there's nothing worse than when you're, I mean, just wetting the bed in general when you were a kid was bad, but when you're on like an excursion.
I think it was like a wolf.
And mom's not there, you know, and you're just like, you got to go sheepishly tell the camp.
Oh, I didn't tell. I didn't tell nobody.
You just slept in your urine for the rest of the
week? Well, I didn't know. I woke up and I was like, ah, crap, you know, and then just kind of like, luckily I was wearing like dark jeans that day. And
I peed my pants being a Girl Scout.
Did you really?
Selling cookies. That's why I'm anti-children's labor.
Wait, like while standing there? Like you weren't allowed a bathroom break?
I had peed my pants like in school and kind of did a whole like Mahoney thing. I was wearing dark jeans and just kind of kept it on, kept pushing. And I was too embarrassed to let them know. So I was just like out here slinging cookies and pee pants.
And then those jeans start to chafe.
Oh, they got
pee
hard.
Jeans.
They turned into starch.
Yep.
Those were extra starchy.
it's something I'll never forget. So my inner thighs will never be the same.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, guys. I got a solution. Dave, pick the child that's most going to listen to you. Take that $100 and have them mimic that dog all day.
Message deleted.
You know, my kids, I love them very much. I should just preface this by saying that. They do a fine job of being annoying without being bribed. So if I'm trying to get my mother-in-law back for having an annoying dog by having my kids annoy her, I think I can save the $100.
Yeah.
Don't even need to pay them. They'll figure it out.
This is Dave and Mahoney. Blitz, glamour, and out-of-touch celebrities.
Well, that's redundant.
It's Pop Trash.
I'm Dave and Mahoney.
So I am all about some Conan O'Brien content, Mahoney. It feels like Conan O'Brien, out of all of the late-night talk show hosts, at least in our lifetime, got the rawest of the raw deals.
Absolutely.
And that's me saying that with it in mind that Conan is arguably the most talented, or at least one of them, right?
Absolutely.
Like,
I mean,
when you think about like the hierarchy of like funny, original, edgy late-night hosts.
He redefined that genre, which was already pretty well-defined in and of itself. You know, when I think of, you know, the greats, you know, I mean, Johnny Carson sits on a throne above them all. And then, you know, when you think about like, you know, you go the Tonight Show route, guys who have hosted it, you know, David Letterman holds his own, but he didn't ever host the Tonight Show fully.
Right.
And then Conan's there as well. But Conan redefined how all of that went.
I love Conan, and this is a show that's going to follow him around the world. So it's called Conan O'Brien Must Go. It's going to be on HBO Max on April the 18th, and it's him going to various locations, including Norway and Thailand and Argentina and Ireland. And during the stops, he'll surprise fans and explore local culture and cuisines and sights and all of that. So it's essentially like a travel show with Conan O'Brien, but I love Conan O'Brien.
I mean, anything he does, yeah. Like Conan O'Brien's Looking for His Friend, his podcast. I mean, Conan has really, he has a way of entertaining that just seems effortless. And anything he does is always entertaining. So this is something that I'll definitely have to give a watch to.
So this is just the opposite of Dan Levy's The Reluctant Traveler.
Yeah, he is a very willing
Eugene, excuse me.
Yeah. But the Oscars, of course, took place on Sunday night and Oppenheimer cleaned up. But that's not the real award show that we really care about, of course. What? It's the Razzies. And Megan Fox, congratulations to Megan Fox. Her Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey film absolutely swept.
She was in that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
But that was a Jordan Peele movie, wasn't it?
No.
I thought that he was the one who took... Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Yeah. Megan Fox also received double dishonors for Worst Actress in Johnny and Clyde and Worst Supporting Actress in Expendables 4.
I don't even know if she's ever had a good movie other than maybe the first Transformers where she was just kind of like a video vixen for that film. Yeah. You know, like she didn't really have much...
You just look hot substance. And stand next to a car. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, which is kind of unfortunate, but yeah, well, good for her.
Not for the only one to pick up an award at the Razzies for Expendables 4. Sylvester Stallone named Worst Actor for Expendables 4. Oof. So there's that. John Voight won Worst Actor for Mercy as well. So Razzies obviously pretty tongue-in-cheek, but Megan Fox, congratulations. What a year for her.
Do you remember when Halle Berry showed up to the Razzies because she won the award for Worst Actress? Turns out that was the same year she won Best Actress at the Oscars for Monsters Ball.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. She brought her Oscar to the Razzies.
Good for her, man. Lean into it. And finally, Kung Fu Panda 4 taking number one at the box office. I mean, it's a pretty big opening for the fourth installment of Kung Fu Panda. $58.3 million in domestic theaters. And, I mean, that's with Dune Part 2 still out there, bringing in a lot of money, $46 million for them. So, total of $157 million now for Dune. But Kung Fu Panda, number one, $58 million. I mean Jack Black has got that star power.
Getting pretty good ratings, 71% from the critics for a fourth movie in a animated sequel. But the audience loving it even more, 87% fresh from the audience.
Strong.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
So I kind of thought this was the whole point of having two pilots, but two pilots have found themselves in a significant amount of trouble. This is a flight in Indonesia. Went off course for about 28 minutes. You're like, how on earth does a flight with a whole bunch of passengers on it? They fell asleep. Not one, but both of them fell asleep. So there was a 32-year-old pilot and a 28-year-old first officer. And they both fell asleep on the flight, and it just kind of drifted for about a half an hour. Now, thankfully, obviously, there's enough technology nowadays where the plane's not just going to go barreling to the ground. But I feel like if you've got a passenger flight with a lot of passengers on it, somebody has to be older than 32.
Yeah, we need an adult here.
Like young first officers are adults. No, yeah, but like a young first officer, like that makes perfect sense. But I always appreciate when I get on the flight and
you want an old pilot,
an older pilot. You know,
who's seen it all, who's seen Audrey.
Like used to fly in World War II.
Do you know how sleepy old people are?
But that's what I mean. They're supposed to be a young virile person that is there to like poke them
so
awake.
So there is a you would rather an old sleepy person who just is sleepy at the wheel than a young person who is. Awake?
They weren't awake.
They weren't awake. That's the problem.
They veered off course for 24 minutes.
Well, 28 minutes. This is also, where'd you say this was in Thailand?
Indonesia.
They probably be losing planes over there, too.
They do.
Remember that Malaysian flight?
I was trying to figure out how to say this, but I mean, like, I just feel like that's just their piloting systems. I feel like that's just the way they fly planes.
So the captain slept for an hour, briefly waking to offer to switch places, but the first officer declined. And that's when they both dozed off, and this plane diverted from its path, prompting the captain to wake up and correct the course. Thankfully, eventually did that. The pilots have been temporarily suspended, and an investigation is underway. I don't know. I feel like if you just doze off and your co-pilot also dozes off,
you should not be flying planes anymore.
No, man.
Nope.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show. Yeah. Americans that are nuttier than a payday.
I got me a dog.
It's the Redneck Report on Dave and Mahoney.
You guys, this is going to shock you that this was not true love. A 73-year-old man decided that he was going to go on a date with a 34-year-old girl, and it turns out that she wasn't actually interested in him. In fact, it was just a big setup. Her 33-year-old boyfriend came rolling in and clubbed the dude in the head with some sort of metal object.
Dave?
Yeah.
Her ex-boyfriend.
They say it's the ex-boyfriend, but still, like, was she in on this? Feels like she was
100%
in on this.
100% she was in on this.
So,
like,
the
you're not 34 going out with a 72-year-old unless you know that there is some sort of financial gain to be had.
So this 34-year-old girl, who's, you know, like, fairly attractive-ish, suggested that this 73-year-old guy follow her back to her house, you know, because things are going well on this date, when all of a sudden, the ex-boyfriend, Andrew Marks, attacks and boom, hits him on the head with a metal pipe, steals his wallet. Wright initially claimed the attacker was an elderly woman, but text messages revealed they'd planned the robbery together.
Yeah.
So, just texting back and forth on your real phones. This is great. What could go wrong?
And on top of that, like, who steals, like, in my wallet, I have one single solitary dollar bill.
Which is $1 more than you usually have in
your
wallet.
It is, because I normally carry no cash whatsoever. Like, I feel like just, like, armed robberies and stick-ups these days,
it's not worth it.
Don't have the kind of payoff that they used to.
So I would like to put an asterisk in the story real quick, Dave, because you're saying that no 34-year-old would ever go for a 72-year-old. 73, excuse me. Michael Keaton is 72, and I would definitely go for Michael Keaton.
Not if he was broke.
Yeah, but he's
he's famous.
He's a celebrity.
You said no one.
Okay.
There's I said without money in involved. If he was broke, no, because he wouldn't look the way that he looks.
Danny DeVito, 79. I would also go for Danny DeVito.
I would bang Danny DeVito.
He looks great.
just for the sport of it.
I mean, it might be interesting.
Yeah. I just want to know.
I'm just curious.
It's got a hell of a story.
You know, 79-year-old Danny DeVito and me, 32.
Mm-hmm. Dreams. You could make them a possibility.
I could. Yeah. Not just fantasy anymore, you know?
Yeah. So what great roommates these two are. Two women in Ohio are facing charges of straight up doing a weekend at Bernie's with their deceased roommate.
Well, that's messed up, Dave.
Allegedly drove their deceased roommate to the bank in order to withdraw money from his account. They put him in the passenger seat during the bank visit. With what, sunglasses? I mean, I don't know. It just seems so strange.
A bucket hat, like a fishing hat or something along those lines? And then did they have like a pulley system for the arms?
I guess they got the money and then they just took him to the hospital and dropped him off dead.
I get it. If you're going to rob your now dead roommate, he doesn't have any need for that money. Whatever, you do you. But
did they kill him though?
No, they didn't. No. But you could just probably just take his bank card and go to the bank and not have to like prop him up weekend at Bernie style to get the money.
That's
out.
What I mean. Like, unless you have his PIN code, and if you do have his PIN code, you don't need to bring him along.
Yeah.
Just strange to me. And finally, when you really want to attack your ex-boyfriend, but you forgot to pack a weapon, you know, who hasn't been there before? This young lady whose name, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. A-U-K-I-E-V-A-H.
I don't know.
Akiva? Whatever.
Sure.
22 years old, facing burglary and battery charges after she broke into her ex-boyfriend's home in Florida and then attacked him by throwing Sprite and pickled pork juice at him on his sofa.
Pickled pork juice?
Yeah.
Dude,
this dude's got a micro suede couch? Oh, hell no.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that this guy did not have a micro suede couch.
You don't think
That's just my guess.
Mm. Yeah, pickled pork juice, though. That's foul. Also, if you're going to assault anybody with any type of beverage, it's going to be a Sprite. That thing is electricity in a cup.
Dude, you get Sprite in your eye, you are going blind. That's worse than,
what, Mahoney? Than Danny DeVito?
Dumbasses!
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Dave and Mahoney present, Are You Smarter Than a Community College Dropout?
Probably not.
Jim is joining us today for a round of Are You Smarter Than a Community College Dropout? Jim, tell us about your level of education. How far did you get in school?
Well, I graduated high school and took a few college classes here and there, but nothing to brag about, really.
So even though Mahoney also maybe doesn't have a lot to brag about, that's not going to stop him. He is taking off his headphones, though, and he is leaving the studio right now. You guys are going to be asked these same questions. Jim, there are a total of 6 questions, so you do have a pass, and I would just encourage you to use that pass sooner rather than later if you feel like you need it. I'm not going to give the correct answers until Mahoney is re-entered and given his choice, okay?
All right.
Question number 1, what is the only planet that rotates on its side?
I'm going to go with Venus.
Okay, question number two. In what year did the Titanic sink?
1912.
Question number three. What European nation was said to invent hot dogs?
I would go with... I'm going to go with... Austria.
You do have a pass if you want to use your pass. I don't know if you would want to use it here or not, but you could use it here if you wanted to.
Okay, I'll pass on that one.
Okay, good choice. Totally good independent choice. Question number four. In the movie The Shawshank Redemption, what is the name of the main character played by Tim Robbins?
Andy Dufresne.
Question number five. What river is the longest in the United States?
Mississippi.
And question number six. Who is the king of the gods in Greek mythology?
Zeus.
All right. You see what happens, Audrey?
Yeah, if I was looking. I was looking. He was answering pretty fast, but we'll see whether or not Mahoney is going to be back in time.
Jim got right back, and Mahoney was a little late there, but how was the bathroom? It was good? Yeah? Okay. All right.
Sprinting.
So,
Jim was quick.
He was quick today.
Very efficient today.
Usually it does take a little bit longer in your defense, Mahoney.
Had to sing the happy birthday song while I washed my hands.
I see. Mm-hmm. All right. Question number one, Mahoney. What is the only planet that rotates on its side?
Pass.
All right. You pass. Jim got that incorrect. It is the most hilarious planet
name. Uranus.
Uranus. Yeah, that's what I thought. Glad you're on board, Jim. Question number two. In what year did the Titanic sink? Incorrect.
19. Boy, man. So this is post World War One. 1917?
No. 1912 is the correct answer. Jim got that right. You got that wrong.
He got that right?
Sure did.
He didn't know Uranus, but he got.
He don't know about Uranus, but he knows about sinking that Titanic.
Okay.
Never been to Uranus.
Not yet, Jim. All right, question number three. Which European nation was said to invent hot dogs?
I thought the hot dog was invented at the 1901 World Fair. Let's go with Germany.
Germany is correct. Yeah. Jim passed on that one. Mahoney got that one correct. So, Mahoney, you've got one right so far. Jim also has one right so far.
That was the St. Louis World Fair where those were introduced by Germans.
Is that just where your history was rewritten?
Mahoney's from St. Louis.
I think that was introduced to the world it was the 1904 World Fair, I believe.
Okay. Question number four. In the movie Shawshank Redemption, what is the name of the main character played by Tim Robbins?
Andy Dufresne.
Andy Dufresne. Both of you got that right. Well done. Question number five, what river is the longest river in the United States?
The Mississippi.
You know, I would have thought the same thing.
Both the Missouri?
It's the Missouri. Yeah, both of you got that wrong. Both of you said Mississippi. Missouri is the correct answer.
Do they converge? It's same. Same, same.
Okay, Mahoney, here we go. Who is the king of the gods in Greek mythology?
Zeus.
Zeus is correct. You got that right. Jim also got that right, which means that both of you got three correct. That means Jim wins.
Collusion. There was definitely some collusion going on here.
No collusion. He wins.
Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
I got a message for you.
Leave a message for the Dave and Mahoney Show anytime by calling 833-YO-DUMMY. That's 833-963-8669.
Did you get that?
Please leave a message after the tone.
Speaking of bad driving, last year I did about a 6,000-mile road trip from Florida to Boston. By far, the worst drivers are most definitely in Baltimore, Maryland. Drive at your own risk.
Message deleted.
Do you think that there's anyone anywhere in the whole United States that goes, the people that drive around my city, they're good drivers? Every time I go out cruising, it is just a pleasurable experience sharing the road with other people. I don't think so. I think everyone is convinced, no matter where they live, USA, that the drivers in their city are the worst.
I mean, I don't want to call this guy out, but even if we're going from like the very tip of Florida, which, you know, Miami, up to Boston.
Call them out of the mileage. It ain't 6,000 miles.
That's, I mean, even if you did a round trip, that's a, you would have to do that twice because it's 1,486 miles from Miami to Boston.
That's it?
Yeah. Okay. That's not 6,000.
It's not.
If you would have said 3,000, all right, cool.
Is it possible that you're the bad driver that doesn't know where he's going?
Mm-hmm. If it took you 6,000 miles to go from Miami to Boston, my friend, you have done something wrong.
I was on this loop in Baltimore for 6 days, just driving around in the same circle.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Have you ever seen anybody wash their car with a squeegee at a gas station? Love you guys.
Message deleted.
Yeah, actually, I saw somebody using a squeegee the other day, and it is a little alarming because I never think while I'm getting gas, I need to use the squeegee right now.
Well, but he's talking grasshopper about season?
Grasshopper, like bug season, if you're on a road trip, sure,
but
maybe.
He's talking about the rest of your car, like your hood and stuff.
Oh, is he?
No,
oh,
that's God. Some. That's
oh,
some,
I've done that before.
That's some meth energy, man.
Oh,
what are you
no,
talking
I've
about?
Done it, like, when I, be not, honest. Like, not new car, but old car. Cars.
Were you on meth?
I mean, I was in Missouri.
Okay, then yes.
So,
got it.
You know, when in Rome.
But why would you use that, Mahoney? Where were you going to where you needed to squeegee your entire
Please
car and you couldn't cop up to $7?
I didn't squeegee the whole car, but it was like the hood. Like, because the hood just had so many bugs on it. It was like coming back from
tell
the road
me it's
trip.
Yeah. You're going on a date. You're like, let me squeegee this.
You have to get your car clean before you go on a date, right? Like, that's protocol.
You have to.
Like, I feel like if you do not get your car cleaned interior and exterior before you go on a date.
If
like, that's kind of scummy.
And also, like, the car.
If I climb into a car and it's got water bottles and pop stuff, like, from.
I'm busy, man. I can't.
From fast food joints past? Absolutely not.
That is the minimal amount of effort that it takes.
Minimum.
Like, you can be getting gas and just throw all that stuff in the trash can at the gas station. Like, if you're not willing to do that. Then,
because it shows the effort. I think that one of the things that's so funny about whenever we're talking about, oh my gosh, they planned a date. They just didn't just ask like, hey, where do you want to go?
Yeah.
There's little things that showcase that you had been planning for this action to happen.
Yeah.
Like cleaning your car is so minimal. Like it takes no effort. Even the vacuums are free nowadays.
That said, my car is currently filthy right now, but I'm married, so I know I'm not getting laid. It's fine.
You also have kids in your defense.
Hey, so I got a solution to your problem with Button. I'll gladly border for free while you go on vacation. My 7-foot python would love to meet her. Just saying.
Message
deleted. Does
everybody
want to kill your mother-in-law's dog?
And your cats.
And my cats.
Hey, we got a lot of sadistic people out here just trying to murder animals.
We're saving those numbers, right? We're going to report them, send them straight to jail, animal abuse.
Right to jail.
We got all of your numbers.
You know what, though? I appreciate the offer, but is your python really 7 feet?
Yeah.
Looks more like 5.
It's cold, Dave. She got out of the cold.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney. When you're looking for love,
hey, baby, you want it?
Then all the wrong places.
You want to see what a mistake looks like?
It's the Missed Connection Inspection on Dave and Mahoney.
You know, everyone's looking for love in their own special way. And some people, they're out in public, they run into somebody, but they don't shoot their shot in the moment. So they take it to Craigslist, Mahoney.
Dave, many years ago, when we were young men, just hanging out in our rich friend's dad's wood-laden basement with that bar that we would sneak down behind and occasionally drink a Red Dog beer. We put our hands on a stack of Playboys, penthouses, and hustlers, and we swore to help these freaks fly the flags as high as they possibly can. And that's high. Why? We got high and decided to help these
right,
people on the internet.
Go. It's the Misconnection Inspection. Find all right, okay.
That's what we did, man.
The first one here is a man for a woman, and Audrey. This is kind of, I think, right up your alley. It's entitled Barnes & Noble.
Mm.
Yeah. 33, I'm the tall white guy with blue eyes and tattoos. You were the cute cashier that kept smiling at me. Hit me up. Like, if you know where she works, and you think that there was a mutual attraction, would you take it to Craigslist, or would you just, like, find another excuse to go into Burns & Noble?
I appreciate him not hitting on her in person while she's at her work, you know, making it uncomfortable.
But there's nothing more romantic than a bookstore. I mean, like, if you were going to hit on anyone, it should be in a bookstore. Like, I feel like such a missed opportunity.
Have you ever seen what happens to the people who work at Barnes & Noble? There's nothing romantic.
Have you seen Notting Hill?
Yes, okay. I have. That is not real.
It is in my brain.
This is also a man for a woman, most beautiful woman at Smoke & Joe's. You are so beautiful, I'm speechless. I let you go in front of me at the smoke shop. I wanted to talk to you, but your beautiness was just out of this world. If you see this and was just wondering if you'd like to chat. Also, he just respectful, hanging out of the smoke shop. You know, I was curious what Smokin' Joe's was. Now we know it's like a head shop, so that's great.
And occasionally, you just got to get your cigs, man.
And a gentleman. Let her go right in front.
Mm-hmm. You got mail. Another bookstore romance.
This one is all black checked backpack. This is woman for woman. You were wearing all black. You had a checkered backpack and a black and white bandana on. Long brown hair and your left eye had a little break in it. You were buying cat litter and a cat toy. I doubt you will ever see this, and I hope I see you again at the store that I shop at for my cat stuff also. Maybe somebody will see this and realize they know you. Maybe this will just fade into the ether like most misconnections. Fingers crossed for the first two options.
I don't think any of this is going to be a love story like You've Got Mail or Sleepless in Seattle or... What was the other one?
I'm looking at them all. Internal Sunshine of a Flawless Mind.
You also forgot Serendipity.
Oh, my God. Beauty and the Beast.
This next one.
There's more?
Is entitled, Hey, Destiny, it's Dirk Diggler, Man for Woman.
Ugh.
I made the Boogie Nights comment to you at the bar, and you asked if I was a Dirk Diggler. I tried to find you later, and you were gone. Let's connect so you can be my roller girl. LOLOLOLOLOL.
These freak me out.
I hope that guy goes to prison.
Me too. These freak me out, man.
Dave and Mahoney. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
I have said it before, and I will say it again. Aging with grace is so important, especially if you are a former pop star. We've seen so many pop stars, so many child stars have a hard time figuring it out as they get older. But very rarely have we seen a pop star have a really hard time figuring it out for like 40 years straight. And I'm talking about Madonna. I'm not a Madonna fan. I understand that there are a lot of Madonna fans. The things that
there's a couple songs that were, you know, I would consider to be iconic from her.
Sure,
she is an icon.
She's an icon,
but she still is to a lot of people. Yeah. To you and I, maybe not. But I mean, I feel like to the
general public, though, her legacy has been tarnished. It's not like a Tina Turner or Aretha Franklin or even a Britney Spears. It's just kind of. Ah, man. Like, I mean, we thought Britney Spears couldn't go any further off the rails. I feel like Madonna is showing us that that is possible.
Well, Madonna, I mean, I like the really bad plastic surgery, like whatever. Like she, whatever makes her happy and feel good. Like I've got no real opinion about that. But it does annoy me when she's showing up 2.5-3 hours late for concerts. That's just such a total disregard.
It's a dick move.
For the people that, you know, have gone out for the night or have to figure out how to
you
get home or have babysitters
fans.
And all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's happened multiple times where she's been sued for it. Like, that's the sort of thing that rubs me the wrong way. And then I also just kind of generally find her annoying. But I understand that's because I'm not a fan of Madonna.
Right.
So this is just another thing. Where Madonna, did you hear about this?
I did.
Oh, God.
And
just
I'll let you tell the story, and then I'll tell you how I feel about it.
I kind of feel bad for her because, like, this
I
is just
I do feel
be
bad for her.
Such a startling thing. But Madonna is facing a lot of criticism because she stopped her show to call out somebody. This is in Vancouver. For sitting down while the show was going on. And, you know, a lot of artists will do that. They're like, you know,
everybody
looking around.
Up.
Everyone's standing up. Why aren't you standing? You know, hey, what are you doing? Why don't you get up? Well, here is the ultimate foot in mouth move. In the clip, Madonna asked the fan, what are you doing sitting down? And she walked closer and realized, oh my. She went, oh, okay, politically incorrect. Sorry about that. I'm just glad you're here. Turns out the person was handicapped. They're in a wheelchair. And she's over there giving him grief. You're like, oh man. Like,
so
what a,
cringy.
That is
she
so
just
bad.
Did it. It wasn't like she was like, hey, person in a wheelchair, why don't you stand up? Like, it wasn't like she was being vicious toward it was an accident. I think that it is a very unfortunate, unfortunate thing. And people aren't giving her grief for it, but I think it's just more so because it's like, kind of how Mahoney feels. It's like, you're a Madonna. This isn't the 80s anymore. Like, quit trying to, like, be like, come on, everybody stand up, put your hands up. Like it's
They're
just
like, yeah,
just
I would, but you were three
ass.
Hours late. I'm tired, lady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
New message.
Call the Dave and Mahoney Show voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY.
That's 833-963-8669. Please leave a message after the tone.
I have to question your decision to want to go to a salon to get your hair cut, whereas you could go to a barber and be able to discuss things like sports and things that might interest you.
Message deleted.
You act like I want to have any sort of conversation to begin with. I don't want to have, I want to have so little in common with the person cutting my hair that we do it in complete and utter silence.
You are young, you are attractive, you are an opposite gender of me. There. Couldn't be more different.
We could not. In fact, you are full of life.
If English is your sixth language, that would actually help.
It would be great. Like, who wants to sit there and talk for, like, I mean...
The forced small talk? Shut up.
An hour. That's an hour. Like, let's just, like, and I feel like by doing that, you're just slowing down the thing. Like, I get it. Like, it's... This isn't something that's, like, fun for me.
I've had that happen before where the person cutting my hair got so into the story, they actually, like, stopped cutting my hair to, like, continue telling the dramatic part of the story. I'm like, yeah. Like, do you have, like, one of those little buttons on you where, like, where I can, like, skip intro, you know, like you have on Netflix? Like, just boop, get to the point, man. Let's go.
And also on top of that, like, I've been to, what, 4 barbershops now? And they've all let me down in many ways, shape, or form. So I'm going back to where I belong, and that is the salon. Put one of those big things over my head. I'll read a magazine while my hair's drying.
A man as beautiful as you, you belong in the salon.
That's right.
Leave a message after the tone.
Yeah, is there any way we can, like, get you idiots fired and get some people with talent in there? Because it's just droning on and on about it. It's like trash radio.
Message deleted.
Nah, man, we got a contract. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
We've been fired before. We learned that one. It's fine.
Thanks for taking the time to call it.
You're stuck with us, so sorry, buddy.
Either deal with it or don't.
Yeah. There's a lot of choices out there.
Yeah. You could just turn the station if you hate us that much.
I think, like, in the grand scheme of things, there could be worse. I've heard worse.
Yeah.
We know who's out there. There's a reason why we got hired, because we were it.
Yeah, our boss has told us that many times. He's like, I didn't really want you, but, like, you're the last chick at the bar.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Which is an important lesson to learn. Just show up.
Just be the 99%
of it. Showing up.
Just
you know
be the last person
day?
In the bar.
We show up.
That's right.
What fashion trend that you hope never makes a comeback?
Message deleted.
They've all came back. I didn't think that the mullet was ever going to make a comeback.
But it looks glorious now.
It does. I know.
Because it stopped being ironic and actually a trend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when people were doing it, it was just like their buddies in a bathroom after like 17 Bush Lights. And, you know, they're like, hey, you know what would be really funny? If you chop my beard off into a mustache and then just, like, cut the sides. Like, sides of my face and of my head, please. My wife is going to love that. And then it just turned into irony.
Like, Dave and I.
Now it's a trend.
Dave and I, like, in the 90s, you know, it was like, you know, guys who loved, like, bands like Nirvana and Soundgarden, Foo Fighters, you know, Korn, Limp Bizkit, those bands. You know, if you were into alternative music in the 90s, there was no tight clothing being worn whatsoever. And that was one of the things that, like, it took me until I was much, much older to get into wearing clothes that were more form-fitting and not extra baggy.
But, dude, it is a little weird that you wear yoga pants every day. It does bother me a little bit.
I will say this, though, Dave. I do not, like, I am now embracing the tighter clothing. Like, I like tighter jeans. Like, I never thought, like, I would like skinny jeans. I had the wrong impression of them.
It's because you're buying fitted. There's a difference.
But I will say this now. The one fashion trend I do not want to come back is the suits from the NBA players in the early 2000s.
So you don't want anybody dressed like Billie Eilish?
You could jump out of an airplane in one of those things and be fine.
If you had Shaq standing on, like, the mast of a ship, if he spread his arms out, he could be a sail and move that thing across the ocean.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
All right, Audrey, since you're the outsider here, I want to get your perspective on this. Do you feel like this is a violation or not? So my wife was pretty excited to check out Mahoney and his wife's new house that they're building. And Mahoney told us last week they put the windows in. It's framed up. It's becoming a real house.
It's moving along. Yeah. It's you know, we're a couple months in. I mean, even though that it doesn't seem like that long in the grand scheme of things, we're like 3-4 months in now.
And so, you know, your house is being built. You told us a little bit about it, but we hadn't actually seen it yet. Mm-hmm. And so on Saturday after my daughter's T-ball practice, my wife goes, I know the address. Should we go creep on their new house?
Uh-huh.
Because my wife, there's nothing that she loves more than going and looking at houses that are not ours for whatever reason. And so we drive over to the new house, and it is framed up. And, I mean, Mahoney, this house is a palace. I mean, literally, my wife and I made the joke while we were walking through your house, which, again, I don't know if that's a violation.
You went into his home?
Yeah, I totally did.
Okay, I've got thoughts.
There's no walls or doors.
Yeah, I mean, there is, like, a no trespassing sign, but
whatever.
Yeah, since when do we pay attention to those? And so we're walking through this house, and I'm, like, upstairs in the house, and I'm like, our family could literally live upstairs, and Mahoney and his wife could live downstairs, and there would be enough room in this house.
Well, congratulations, Mahoney.
Like,
that's awesome.
Six bedrooms or something like that? Seven?
Yeah, it's you know, there's a couple in there.
Yeah,
there's one or two. But you know, I have a lot of needs for the show. You know, yeah. Like I do. This is yeah. I mean, like at least three quarters of that house is going to be like a office.
Yeah, for sure. It's totally necessary
for work purposes.
For all the work from home stuff that we do.
Well, you have the broadcast studio, the podcast studio, the video studio.
Well, of course, you got to have that.
And then a gym.
For all that working out you're going to do.
Yeah. So it's coming along, man. Like I'm excited. Like we went and because like my wife hadn't seen it in a while, you know, and so it's like I'm just ready to be out of a rental personally, just because I'm just tired of renting.
You're super excited about it. I mean, it's a beautiful house. I mean, like seeing how it's coming together.
Yeah,
you can really see the vision for it. But my wife and I, because it's a construction zone, like the kids stayed in the car while we walked.
Probably
into the
a good
house.
Idea. Yeah,
and I mean, I made a suggestion. Like, do we want to really mess with Mahoney's head here and christen his house for him?
What? Did you do it in my house?
Nah, she said no.
Son of a bitch.
But I would have.
That's a wrap.
Well, it's about time.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Show on social media. At Dave and Mahoney.
At Dave and Mahoney.
They're everywhere.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram.
Listen anytime and on demand at DaveandMahoney.com.